We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberstation USA.
This is Cyberstation USA, America's unique online experience.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room with host Joan Watson-Jones on Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the CyberstationUSA.com radio network.
Hello, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson-Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax while we enjoy great jazz. Each week we present the music of independent jazz artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, of course, the legends. We open the program with The Shade of the Cedar Tree, from bassist Christian McBride's Grammy-winning CD, The Good Feeling. We were able to catch up with him at the 2012 Newport Jazz Festival. In this, part two of our interview with him, we'll talk about his longtime admiration of R&B artist James Brown, and he'll answer a couple of questions submitted from musicians in our area. Right now, enjoy The Shade of the Cedar Tree.
Thank you.
great James Brown fan. Ow!
No, I'm beyond fan.
I'm
a historian at this point. I get people sending me emails asking me for historical references.
Really? Give me a little history. Show me the knowledge.
Well, there's a
teach
new,
me.
There's a new biography of James Brown that was just released in March. Called The One. It was written by a gentleman named R.J. Smith from Los Angeles. And when he was putting the book together, you know, of course, he did a great job researching all of James Brown's history. He called up all his former band members. He called up his former managers, children, and me.
And you. Okay.
My story with James Brown goes like this. Well, first of all, I can tell you that I'm putting it in my own book. I'm completing my story, my personal memoir about meeting James Brown and knowing James Brown and working with James Brown. It's called I didn't even get to say goodbye. And I'm hoping that it's going to be released sometime either at the end of this year or at the beginning of next year. But the first time I saw James Brown perform, I was a little boy, and he was performing on that old TV show, The Midnight Special. And I just remember sitting in front of the television, frozen, just because I had never seen anybody perform like that before. And I was just so... My mother was watching me watch the TV, and she says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Who is that, Mom?" She said, "Oh, that's James Brown. He's bad, ain't he?" I said, "Mom, he's beyond bad." So my uncle, rest his soul, my Uncle Butch, he used to be a promotions man for WHAT Radio in Philadelphia, which was one of two black radio stations in Philly. So he always had free tickets for every R&B, gospel, or jazz show that ever came through town. So he took me to see James Brown live when I was 10 years old. And I have no words to describe what I felt, you know, to see something that intense. It was like church times 100, you know. So from that point on, I became James Brown's number one fan. I started collecting all of his records, and I got to meet all of his band members. And I moved to New York to go to college when he went to jail in the late 80s. And I started writing him letters,
oh my God,
you know, and telling him, you know, one day we're going to work together. And, you know, now I don't know if he ever read those letters, but as fate would have it, I was touring with Pat Metheny in 1993, and we opened for James Brown at the Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland. And there I got to meet all of his band members, and it was just a slow burning odyssey. So finally I met James Brown the following year at the Apollo Theater. And the long and short of it is he got to know my music, and we got to be I don't know if you can say friends. I'm not sure if James Brown ever really had friends. He had constituents, you know what I mean?
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, and then we worked together a few months before he died.
Oh.
At the Hollywood Bowl.
Thank you.
Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. You just heard I Should Care from Christian McBride's CD, The Good Feeling. We continue now with part two of our conversation with Christian McBride. This time, he'll answer questions submitted by a couple of musicians from our area.
Now, we have a lot of listeners who are musicians.
Yes.
And I have a lot of musician friends. And when I mentioned to my musician friends that I was going to interview you, and I was thinking about it carefully, I said, I wonder what a bass player would ask Christian McBride. Mm-hmm. And one of two of my players emailed me, and I got a flood.
Uh-oh.
I got a flood, and I had to really calm it down. And I think I may even be fresh enough to mention their names, because they were so good to give me such insight.
Okay.
Okay, first guy is a guy named Herman Hampton,
okay.
Great bass player in Boston. And he asked me, who are your influences in the Arco tradition?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very musical, but...
Do you know what that means?
Yes.
Okay, right on.
I know exactly what it means.
Well, you know, it's a short list of bass players who have been great bow specialists. I would have to say Slam Stewart, Paul Chambers, Major Holly, who I actually took a lesson with when I was in high school. Boy, he was a gruff man.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Chambers, of course. I mean, Paul Chambers is probably the top of the line when it comes to modern jazz bass playing with the bow. John Clayton, who is also who was my partner in the Super Bass Band. That's about the names that come to mind when I think of all of my favorite jazz Arco players. Ray Brown played some good bow, but he didn't do it all the time, you know,
mm-hmm.
whereas, like I said, John Clayton and Paul Chambers and Slam Stewart, Major Holly, they really concentrated on playing with the bow. So, yeah, those were my favorites.
Okay. I have to admit that's a favorite sound for me.
Okay.
It's a wonderful sound for me. And my other friend, Ed Marshall, who plays both jazz and classical. He does a lot of classical work. And he said, how would you advise young bassists who want to pursue a career as a jazz bassist?
That's such a broad question.
Well, we can...
Well, I mean, it all depends on what you want. And I think that's the case in any endeavor that you choose. If you want to be a jazz bass player out here working on the scene, first you got to figure out who you want to play with. And you got to learn as much material as you possibly can. You know, get all of those old recordings, learn all of those songs from the Great American Songbook and all of the Tin Pan Alley standards. And that's for starters.
Was good. I mean, we know how people can find you.
Yes.
And that's
a lot of different ways.
A lot of different ways they can find you on the internet.
You can find me at ChristianMcBride.com. They can find me on Twitter.
Okay.
They can find me on Facebook.
Well, I'll just have to find you on Twitter and friend you on Facebook now.
Please do that.
I will do that. I will find you and friend you on Facebook.
Cool.
And do the Twitter, because we are on Twitter and Facebook.
All
and
right.
We're doing the whole social media
cool.
thing, too.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for spending time
My
here
pleasure.
In the Jazz Room with us.
My pleasure.
Christian
Anytime.
McBride. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We've come to the end of another show. Thank you for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room. You are listening now to Blues in Alphabet City from Christian McBride's CD, The Good Feeling. Now, we love hearing from you. You may send your comments and questions through the Jazz Room page of my website, JoanWatsonJones.com. Also, you'll find photos of Christian McBride at the 2012 Newport Jazz Festival. Also, a direct link to Christian's website, ChristianMcBride.com, and links to his Facebook and Twitter page. Until next time, you have been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.
Before us, the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.